Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Welcome to the Lord's House for worship today. This is really week number 5 in our 8-week series for growing forward. We've looked at the harvest. We've looked at the means of grace. We've prioritized worship and looked at the priority of making that the chief thing. We want to trust the Lord and grow in His Word. Today, we want to take it another step. A congregation wants to grow forward by winning. How badly do you want to win? We'll see that in all of the readings and the devotion coming up. Our order of service is found in your worship folder. Let's begin at this time with hymn number 84. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for all of our sin. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority alone, I forgive you all of your sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Lord be with you. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, how great is your compassion that you came to preach and heal and enlighten so many. Give us the same zeal for others, that more might hear and believe your good news, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. First lesson is from Isaiah chapter 49. You see God's heart and God's attitude, more. I want more. I love the ones I have, but I want to win more, and so it's too small a thing just for salvation to be for the Jews. Let's make it bigger. Let's win even the Gentiles to the grace and mercy God has in mind. We read, "Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my mother's womb, he has spoken my name. He hid my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, 'You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor.' But I said, 'I've labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing at all. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God.' And now the Lord says, 'He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength,' he says, 'it is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and the Holy One of Israel. To him who is despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, kings will see you and stand up. Princes will see and bow down. Because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. This is the word of our Lord." Continue with the solo, "Carry the Light."
Amen.
Second lesson this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, serves as a basis for the sermon. For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I'm compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I'm simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this: that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. This is the word of our Lord. Alleluia. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Alleluia. Please stand. The gospel according to Mark chapter 1, you see that winning attitude also in our Savior. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I've come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith with the creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated for the hymn 566. Grace and mercy and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who wants to win. Brothers and sisters in him. Senior year high school, three of us on the golf team were invited by the coach to play the coach, who was the golf pro of that course. 3-1, he'd never lost to any of the students on his team. So, of course, we accepted the challenge. If we won, we got something. I don't remember what it was. If he won, he got something. I don't remember what it was. We made it to the 9th hole. All 4 balls are on the green, 5 to 8 feet away from the pin. And the three of us students were all first. If any one of us sunk our ball, we won. He was fourth. So one of my classmates went first, missed his putt, and he was a state qualifying golfer. I went second. I was not a state qualifying golfer. And I missed the putt. But how I missed was important. I left it about 6 to 8, 9 inches short of the hole, which drew a comment from the coach. You never want to do that. You never want to leave your ball short of the hole. When you hit the putt, you at least want it to go as far as, if not even beyond the hole. Otherwise, you never have a chance if you lay it up short. You want all your effort to go into that. Ugh, he was right. So the third student putted and missed badly. Coach was number four and stepped up to his ball and sunk his putt. That loss still hurts. It just stings to this day. It hurt me. It hurt the other three of us, two of us who are competing. It hurt the team who is cheering for the coach to go down. And to a degree, it even hurt the coach who, I think, wanted to see one of his students put it in. Does anybody here like to lose? Does anybody enjoy that feeling of loss that you have invested your time? You've invested your energy. You've invested your emotion into the project, into the person, into whatever it was. And now you walk away with that pit in your stomach. You walk away with that bitter taste in your mouth. You walk away with that tension and angst. Let's take it a step further. Does anybody here like the thought of losing one soul? Jesus didn't. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? What good is it if somebody wins at everything, including the golf thing? And they lose eternal life. They've lost it all. A soul to Jesus was the most important thing, where it lands for all eternity. So much so that Jesus even wept over his enemies when he wept over the city of Jerusalem. All of these stubborn people who didn't listen to the gospel and rejected the grace of God and the free ministry of Jesus Christ, he wept. Because he cared for their soul. He wanted them to win and he knew they were going to lose. A growing forward congregation. Boy, does it want to win. It wants to win souls. The Apostle Paul had that same attitude in our lesson for today. So badly did the Apostle Paul want to win that he did something incredible. He gave up his entire salary at that congregation. His entire paycheck for the whole time he ministered there among them. He gave it all up. And he worked on the side to support himself. He was a tent maker, and so he put that skill to work. And he himself worked, provided his own salary, so that they didn't have to pay for him. Now, he wasn't teaching that as a model for the congregations, that you should have your called workers support themselves on the side so that you get a free ministry out of them. He wasn't teaching that at all. In fact, prior to our text, he said, I had the right to receive from you a salary. I could have taken a paycheck. That was within my rights as a worker. And later he taught them the worker is worthy of their wages. And later on in the pastoral epistles, he said, anyone who receives instruction from their teacher is to share every good thing with their teacher. You are blessed by the word of God that's shared with you, and when you put that into practice and are blessed by it in life, and you receive good things, you're supposed to share that with your teachers. That's scripture. So, if the Apostle Paul could have received a paycheck from them, why on earth didn't he? Why did he work on the side to support himself? He tells us. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel I may offer it free of charge, and so not make use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. If you remember, the Apostle Paul was called directly by the Lord Jesus to be an apostle, and when he was brought to faith, the Lord commanded him to preach the word of God. And so, if you will, he was under Christ's command to preach. Now, for somebody like that, how do they get to show their heart? They're under a command to preach, and so the Apostle Paul was looking for ways to show the congregations, look, I may be under Christ's command to preach. Yep, this is what he told me to do, but I want to do this. I want to show you my heart is fully invested in this message that I'm preaching, and I'm not doing this because I was told to, or it's an obligation, and it's commanded on me. I want to do this. My heart is fully invested in this. And so he showed his heart to the congregation by saying, you know what? I'm going to show you I want to do this by not taking a salary, and I'm going to give the gospel here free of charge, and you get to take my salary and commit it all the more to gospel ministry. The Apostle Paul desperately wanted to win and win souls for Christ by the winning gospel message, fully committed to it. Do you? If you were to sit down today, because this is to be a private matter between you and the Lord, if you were to sit down with the Lord and look over your finances and what you give to the Lord for generous offerings, would the Lord recognize somebody whose heart is fully invested and wants to win? Or would he see somebody who's laying it up short with effort that's not going the distance? Would he see somebody who is sacrificing for the sake of the gospel and wants to show full investment of their heart, or somebody who's being very selfish? Or, worse of all, if the heart's not invested at all, would the caddy even be pleased with the tip? Honestly, people can tell. People like that in positions like that can see if the heart is behind what is being gifted and given. The Lord is very concerned about the effort because the effort reveals where the heart is fully invested and grounded. God is very concerned about that. Why? Because we're not talking about sinking a ball anymore into a hole on the green, are we? We're talking about the Lord Almighty who has full rights to sink sinners down into the hole for all eternity. Hell is not called the pit for nothing. So desperately did the Lord Jesus want to win souls, did the Lord want to win souls, that he sent his only Son here to redeem the world of sinners from that impossible pit that we never had a way out of. Our lives were headed directly and we're going to sink down there. And so what did Jesus do? He exchanged all the riches of heaven to come here, to fully invest his time, his life, his energy, his emotion into living a life for the world of sinners, to do it perfectly in their place, so that he might take our place on the cross and remove that hell hole from our future and take the consequences of sin and everything that we deserve on himself. When you look at that cross, the cross of Jesus Christ shows the incredible price, but it also shows something more. It shows the tremendous, fully invested heart of God for people. Paul later wrote to the congregation at Corinth in his second book when he said, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Paul was actually doing the exact same thing Jesus did. Who subsidized Jesus' ministry on earth? He really did it himself. He was fully invested in this with his heart and soul and strength. And by going to the cross, Jesus didn't lay it up short. Going to the cross, he didn't lose. He won. When sinners today, like you and me, when you and I take our sin and recognize it for what it is, because Scripture reveals it and reveals our wicked heart, when we take our greed, when we take our stinginess, when we take our half-heartedness, when we take those days where there's no heart in it, when we take all of that selfishness and we bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ, we win too. He gives us the victory. He gives us his perfect scorecard. He gives us the blank check of the forgiveness of sins and his perfect life, and he gives it for free to us. That's what it's always been about. The winning gospel message, fully yours, fully free, fully undeserved. And it doesn't stop there. By this winning message, the Lord Jesus doesn't just forgive sin. He gives you and me a new heart. A new mind, a new attitude that's like his. A new man rises in our heart and soul that loves the Lord, that wants to be generous, that wants to be fully invested, that wants to serve the Lord, that wants to partner with the winning gospel. Why? Because we know heaven's our future. Fully convinced. Christ will come through on his promises exactly as he said, and we will go to heaven. We're going to win. The Apostle Paul knew that winning message, and he was fully invested in it. But that led him to take things a step further. He not only fully invested in this winning message, but he wanted to use a winning style in proclaiming it. Listen to how he describes it. Though I am free and belong to no one, I've made myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. I've become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. What Paul's talking about here is not changing the gospel. He's not adding to it. He's not subtracting to it. The gospel message is perfect the way it is. It doesn't need to change, and we dare not change it. It is exactly as we need it and exactly what the world needs. But what he's talking about then with a winning style is either creating or recognizing opportunities shrewdly to share that winning message exactly as the message is. And so what he's revealing in himself is not only somebody who is fully invested that wanted to give his entire paycheck for all the time that he worked there, but he wanted to fully give himself to everyone he met so that he might be able to share that winning message. Do you? Will you? Are you so convinced by this winning message that you recognize the importance of winning souls that you would fully get behind this and invest yourself in it? Not just your offering? Would you become a slave to everyone? That's a strong sentence. What does that even mean? That you would meet people on their turf using their terminology with what they are familiar with, that you might be able to get through to them to bring them this winning gospel message, exactly as the gospel message is. And so, whether you're talking to a Jew or a Gentile or a slave or a free person or a male or a female, whether you're talking to a kid, whether you're talking to a parent, whether you're talking to a grandparent, that you might meet them in their culture, in their community, with all the common things that they're familiar with, so that they might hear the gospel as it truly is. I'm not a figure skating kind of person. I don't know the first thing about it. I know maybe a term or two. But if somebody was big into figure skating, all right, I would sacrifice my likes to learn figure skating so that I might be able to share Christ. If somebody really liked stir fry with those nasty water chestnuts, you know what? If they invited me over to their home, I would tough it out and eat water chestnuts for the sake of the possibility of sharing the gospel. Would you adapt with the freedom that God allows us to meet the need of the individual so that we might advance Christ? One year where I served over in Michigan, I had the opportunity to do prison ministry and participate in it. Very, very different world from what I'm used to. Going inside, going through all the regulations of that prison, getting approved to go in there, and then learning the ins and the outs of what the inmates go through day in and day out so that I could better shape my Bible studies to meet them where they were at, to better share the gospel with them. I didn't do it so well my vicar year. My intern year, I was invited to go to a home for mothers in Denver, Colorado. And they invited me to do a one-time Bible study on Christian dating. Men and women dating, not ancient dating. And these moms were rough and tough. They grew up with a terrible upbringing, parents who didn't treat them well. Maybe they got into drugs. They don't know how to do anything with finances. They waste their money. They've gotten into a relationship in the past with men who abused them and did all kinds of bad things. They don't know what a good relationship is like. And so they let themselves be taken advantage of, and now they're young mothers with these young children, and they're just looking for any kind of godly path forward. And so they invite this young vicar in to talk to them about how to find the right guy and what to look for in a guy. You know what? I wish I could have that one back, because I don't think I hit the nail on the head for what they really needed. Now that I learned what they were like and what their needs were, I think I could do a much better job. But as a church, we band together because we want to hit that nail on the head. We want to win. We want to reach the lost with the passion of the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus and all of the scriptures. In fact, that's one of the whole reasons behind the play area for the possible building project. Where do you take 50 to 60 to 70 kids during a school year when the gym's in use? So certainly it would be used by the kids if the classrooms come to fruition. But more than that, from a church perspective, where do you go if you're a young family and it's negative 10 degrees out at 5 in the morning when I get up in the morning on a Sunday morning? Where do you take your little kids to go play? What an incredible opportunity. You could bring people here. They would come here from all over the area to an incredible indoor heated area where there's a play area. And there'd be coffee there, and you could meet them where they're at. Because we get little kids. We get parenting. We understand the Word of God and how to meet them where they're at. And we understand this community. What an incredible opportunity on weeknights, on weekends, to reach the lost and to do ministry. Bringing generous offerings together, bringing the winning gospel message fully invested in it, bringing a winning style to serve people so that we, like Paul, can say, so that we might save some. A growing forward congregation wants to win, and not for ourselves, not for any bragging rights, because we beat the coach or whatever. The Apostle Paul said our motivation. I do all this for the sake of the gospel. With all the strength of Christ's winning gospel, so do we. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please be seated, and at this time I invite forward the officers and leaders of the congregation on the various boards and committees for induction. You can line up in any order, and you can face this way first, Bill. Dear friends in Christ, you have been baptized into the name of the triune God and brought into the body of Christ and believers. And now, on behalf of this congregation, you've been called or put into positions of authority to serve the body of Christ. The Lord seeks faithfulness from all who serve. As Scripture says, it's required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. The Lord does not seek from us what he has not given to us. But when he does give a gift, it is his will that we use it faithfully to his glory and for the benefit of his people. You are also as servants of Jesus Christ and workers in this congregation to set for your own families and the whole church the example of Christian lives. Make the word of God your foundation and guide. Search it daily for comfort and instruction. So that the congregation may be assured of your willingness to serve, I ask you in the presence of God in this congregation, will you diligently and faithfully carry out the office entrusted to you according to the ability that God has given to you? If so, answer, I will, and I ask God to help me. I now install you then into your various positions at St. Paul's in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And let's start over here. If you would just turn around, face the congregation, can you state your name, your position, and even year of service, if you can.
Zach Theobald, I am on the Christian Board of Education, and this will be going into my second year.
Mike Ospring, Elder, this is my first year.
Elissa Niesman, Stewardship, going into the fourth year.
Jeremy Niesman, same as mine.
Bill Recker, Board of Elders, third year.
Justin Redu, Board of Christian Education, first year.
Brett Horn, second year financial secretary.
You can turn around. May God grant you all his Holy Spirit and give you wisdom and strength to carry out your duties to his glory and for the good of his people. God's blessings to all of you and your service. We'll have a prayer for you just coming up right now. You may return to your seats. Please stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we grieve with Gary and Noreen Bauer, who mourn the loss of Gary's daughter Maria this past Tuesday. We also grieve with the Reinemann family as they mourn the death of Lyle that happened just a few days ago. Our grief, though, is not without hope, because even now we trust and know that these Christians won. You brought their souls to heaven and fulfilled your gospel promises to them. Encourage then each family, and please bring them your peace. Lord, we praise you for the leaders and servants you have granted to your church. Equip them with all they need for carrying out the work. Let their labor be filled with joy and thankfulness because it is you they serve. We also ask your continued blessings through the cottage meetings and capital campaign. Lord, shape our attitude to be like yours, that we always seek to win souls by your gospel. We also now join to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the hymn. Almighty God, grant to your church the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that comes from above. Let nothing hinder your word from being freely proclaimed to the joy and edifying of Christ's holy people, so that we may serve you in steadfast faith and confess your name as long as we live, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Thank you. Morning, everyone. Good to have all of you here, guests and visitors. Love having you come. Please come worship the Lord with us again. A couple of announcements for you. Thomas, if you want to come on up and if you need to get anything situated. Bible study's coming up in the gymnasium at about 9:25. We're on lesson 5, I believe, studying through Zechariah, and would love to have you join. It's been a wonderful study and a great group, too. Some wonderful discussion. We have, this is not Jim. According to plan, the Capital Campaign asked Jim to do the first 4 and Thomas Cameron to do the last 4. And so Thomas is our transition person today, and we'll see it through for the next 3 Sundays as well. So, Thomas,